Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey, we're in a season of prayer and fasting. Who's been involved in some way? Lots of you. Actually, you know what's really encouraged me is that so many of you have been in contact in the last couple of weeks going, I've been fasting, I've been doing this, I've been doing that. And for me, that just shows that you're stepping out in faith. And activating faith is such a powerful thing. It's sort of like, you know, I'm not sitting on the bench. I'm getting in the game. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to allow him to show up and show off. And I'm still believing that if you haven't heard from God yet, to continue. Don't quit. We've got one more week to go. I know for myself, I don't think I ever want to see another celery stick in my life. It's been fruit and veg for the last couple of weeks. I am hanging out for a steak. But, you know, I just believe that God is doing amazing things. And in this recent time, I've really started to get some clarity on 2024, which is what I've been praying for. You know, there's a lot of things I'm praying for this church, for family, for your friends and friends and family and those that are lost. But, you know, just by taking this time out and saying, I'm going to sacrifice something, God, would you show up? And in this week, I actually read a quote that's never resonated with me more. And it's by a guy named Chad Allen. He writes this, faith is never so real as when it demands something painful from us. I'm going to read it again. Faith is never so real as when it demands something painful from us. When's the last time your faith cost you something? When's the last time your faith has hurt to stay true? And you know, setting up this year with this prayer and fasting has really been a challenge. It's been, I mentioned in the first week that we haven't done a prayer and fasting season for a while because it became religious duty. It became a little bit like who can outlast, you know, like outlast, outplay, survivor, you know, like who's going to get there to the end? You know, you've been eliminated, you ate some food. Like it's sort of been this thing over the last few years where it's sort of, I don't know, I feel like it lost the purpose of fasting. And in the first week I shared that, you know, fasting is something that we find time and time again in the scriptures. Time and time again, men and women of God fasted to see God move on their behalf. They laid something down so that God would show up. And I'm going to say this right now. With 1 week to go, it doesn't matter if you just fast lunch today. I don't care if it's for an hour or 2 hours or a day or a week. But just deciding in your heart between you and God by faith, saying, God, I'm giving this up. Would you move in my situation? Maybe you've got a rock and a hard place, some situation where you cannot see how God could do it. Trust me, stepping out in faith is the beginning. Allowing God to do something in a time of sacrifice. That is something super powerful. And I talked about that in the first week. Go listen to the podcast if you need to about the fact that God can unlock supernatural things when we lay something down, when we give something up through a fast. Last week, I shared again on fasting, what true fasting looks like. The book of Isaiah, the prophet, he calls out the religious people. They got caught up in that religious duty of fasting. They started, you know, looking lowly, you know, oh, woe is me, sackcloth, ashen sackcloth, and look at me, I'm not eating, God bless me, you know. And Isaiah calls it out and he says, this is not true fasting. True fasting is setting the oppressed free. True fasting is living on behalf of others, making sure you're laying your life down to meet the needs of others. And what's so powerful about last week, we talked about when you're praying and you're fasting, yes, God can move in your life, but would you have the faith to believe for someone else in 2024? Would you have faith to believe for the prodigal, the family member that desperately needs Jesus? Would you actually have the faith to believe that your sacrifice, God would see it and he would respond with yes? Talked about when we live for others, when our fast is not just about ourselves, how the most amazing thing happens. It says in Isaiah, not only will they be set free, but your healing will quickly appear. That by laying down your own life for others, God would show up and would do a miracle in your life too. That your life would shine like the noonday and that you would be like a refreshing spring that never runs dry. Today, I want to look at fasting again. I want to dig a little bit deeper because as I read that quote, faith is never so real as when it demands something painful from us. It got me thinking about what fasting really is, and it's really denial of self. It's saying no to something that you're totally and absolutely okay with having. I mean, when was the last time you said no to something? When was the last time someone offered you an ice cream and you go, no, thank you? Not because of some kind of health thing, but just genuinely like, no, I'm telling my body no. Rejecting something out of denial, just going, I know it's better for me to say no. We don't do it very often, do we? And as I've been praying and seeking God this week, this sort of hit me. I believe that I wrote this down for a reason. I wrote this down in 2024. I want to be less like me and more like Jesus. I want to learn what he spoke. I want to follow what he did. And believe it or not, fasting is something he regularly did. And so I want to do it as well. In fact, I want to follow the ways of Jesus in some capacity every day of my life on mission to reach those that are lost. Today, I want to open up to the fast that Jesus does directly after he's baptized. 40 days of fasting. And I want to go to Matthew 4. If you've brought your Bible with you, you can open it up or you can look up on the screen. It says this: then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He just fires straight back. There's the devil. Boom. You're hungry. Turn that rock into bread. And Jesus has an answer straight back. And I think sometimes we forget what Jesus was actually doing on his 40-day fast. I don't know if you've ever pictured this. What does Jesus do in the desert for 40 days? I think sometimes I've pictured him finding a nice tree and just going to sleep and counting down the hours till 40 days is up. Like he's like, I've got to do a 40-day fast, right? And I'm just taking time out. I'm chilling out here and doing that. I mean, who's done a fast, as I said, in the last couple of weeks, tried fasting? Who's tried sleeping it through? Just me. Okay. I'm just going to sleep till the next meal. Yes, good. 8 hours gone, right? I think sometimes we just forget that Jesus wasn't just fasting. These 40 days, he was on mission. And what he did in that time, he lived and breathed and studied the Word of God. He studied the Hebrew Scriptures inside and out, reciting, memorizing. And so when the devil comes to tempt him, Jesus doesn't just fire back this really good sounding quote, man shall not live on bread alone. It's not so I can preach it and say, oh, that's really not, you know, like it sounds really clever. He's actually quoting scripture instantly from his heart because it's actually written on his heart. He lives and breathes it. He knows the word of God inside and out. He quotes Deuteronomy 8:1-4. As we read it, he quotes this back. He says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way into the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, caused you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus is quoting that. What's so significant about that? Jesus has done 40 days, not 40 years. He's reminded of those that went into the desert that were on their road to the promised land to receive the gifts that God had promised the Jewish people. They were going to the promised land. I can imagine as Jesus was firing his back, he was thinking about his mission. He knew he'd come to die on a cross, to raise again. Why? To take us into the promised land, to return us back to Eden, to actually bring us the goodness of God. And so when Jesus fires back, he's not just like saying some nice little quote, you should not just live on bread alone. He's saying, this is the word of God and I'm here to fulfill it. And devil, come at me. He knows what the scriptures say. He knows that the scriptures would sustain him. And for 40 days, just reading the word of God was his manna, was his supernatural feeding. He was sharp. It says in verse 5 though, it goes on, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Man, I got to tell you, church, I got to straight up just want you to realize in 2024, you need to know the word of God better than Satan. He knows it inside and out. And he uses the word of God against Jesus. He tries to catch Jesus out. Do you really know what the word of God says? I love the passage he calls out. It's Psalm 91. It's an incredibly popular scripture. You might even have it on your toilet door. You might have it in your house, a little trinket. Who's got one? Because I'm going to read this passage. Oh, that's one of my favorites too. Psalm 91, 9 to 15, it says, if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. But he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent because he loves you, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him. If he acknowledges my name, he will call on me and I'll answer him. Wow, the devil calls that out to use against Jesus. What I love is the devil knows who Jesus is, the prophetic word coming alive. And he's like, I'm going to try and take you out early. But Jesus is so sharp in the word of God. He responds with this. Verse 7, Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He drops Deuteronomy 6, 15 to 19. He knows it. This is what it says. For the Lord your God who is amongst you is a jealous God and his anger will burn against you and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord God promised an oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you as the Lord said. Jesus calls him out. He's like, we're going to the promised land. I'm on mission. I know what's true. You know, the word of God is so powerful. But unfortunately, we've got a church full of people who have no idea what it says. Snippets, tidbits, takeaways. Feed me with little snacks of the scripture without understanding. And maybe God's calling you in 2024, maybe to go study Bible college. Maybe he's been calling you for a while. Maybe you need to take that time out and lay it down and say, I want to learn the word of God because maybe God has got ministry in your life. For some of you, though, you might be like, man, I don't really know what the Bible says. And I know that for Beck and I, our heart has just been burning that our people would know the word of God. And I can't make you do it. But I will say this, that this year, if you're a lady in the church and you want to do a Bible study, Beck's going to be running a Bible study on Monday nights. Is that correct? Here at the church, you want to join that? Come and just study the word. For myself, we've been doing a connect group for men. We're still going to be doing social stuff, but every fortnight we're going to have a Bible study. I know that Johan in his connect group with the men, they've been doing a Bible study. It's been solid, but we want to make sure that there is places for you to learn the word so you can be sharp. So when the tempter comes, you can respond that you know what is true and what is not. And so that's up to you. When Jesus says, don't put the Lord to the test, once again, he's quoting scripture. As I mentioned before, Jesus' whole focus while he was in the desert was to get sharp for his mission. He knew he had to do a massive job ahead. In verse 8, it says again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I'll give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Just a couple of verses before in Deuteronomy, he references. You got to understand the word of God is just in him. His response is fear the Lord. This is the passage in Deuteronomy 6:13. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods and the gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who is amongst you. Jesus wasn't looking for shortcuts and he prepared himself for his mission at hand. He was true to the word of God. He wanted to know what God had for him. He meditated on the word of God. And maybe this week is the first time you're ever going to pick up your Bible in a long time. I don't care if it's your mobile phone or the real thing, but it's the word of God. I just want to set you up for something just so you know. For those who read the Bible, who's ever opened their Bible and instantly just gone, gee, I'm tired and fell asleep? What's that? You know, you can watch Netflix for 4 hours, open your Bible. Or you open your Bible, you're like really disciplined. You sit at your table, you've got your nice pen, you've got your notepad, Bible, highlighter, coffee, hot. You've Instagram, Bible and the Word, basic white girl stuff.
You love it.
All the Christian boys go, she's so holy. You set up your picture. You're ready to read the Bible, okay? And then you think, oh my gosh, I need to get that ingredient for dinner. I forgot I've got to pick up the kids from school. Oh my gosh, I haven't put the washing on yet. Oh my gosh, I forgot that such and such was on. I need to go, I need to call my sister. I need to call my brother. And you just instantly there's so much stuff going on and you go, I'll do this later, and it never happens. The devil's really good at distraction. And I learned this from a mentor years ago. He said, if you're going to sit down to read the Word of God, and he goes, instantly you'll think of everything else you need to do straight away. He said, if it's on your phone, in your notes, write down the note of what you forgot you had to do and put a list of things that you can catch up on later. He said, it might take you 15 minutes with all the things you've got to do, but don't neglect the Word of God. Because God wants to speak. And if you give him the time, he will. But we're so distracted. Try it this week. Do it a little bit different. Why is it so important to know the Word of God? Well, someone just said to me this week, the Bible is so incredible. The Bible is the only book that you're reading with the author. Like, it is amazing. It comes to life. It's not just another novel. This is something supernatural and we neglect, but would you be disciplined enough this year to grow your spiritual man, your spiritual being? Why is it so important to grow in 2024? Well, I believe wholeheartedly God wants to use you, but you need to be ready on mission. Paul writes to his young apprentice Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. He says to Timothy, do not waste your arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Maybe that's, don't waste your time talking about conspiracy theories and, you know, a whole bunch of jargon and get caught up and could be God, but just get focused on the things of God. He says this, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the savior of all people and particularly all believers. Paul's saying to Tim, hey, it's great. You want to get fit? That's great. 2024, you want to get fit. You want your body looking good. You want to, you know, get it all together. You've been at the gym every day this week, for, you know, a whole hour. You missed leg day, but you're looking big up top. But, you know, like, yeah. Everyone hates leg day. I just hate the gym. Anyway, he says, you're doing this. You're doing this. It's great. You're getting your body in action. You're feeling good. You're off the sugar. That's great. But Paul says, that's of some benefit. Growing your spiritual man is of great benefit because it's not just for this lifetime, but your eternity as well. When was the last time you gave God an hour? I mean, it's crazy to think that sometimes we miss this, and the reason for it, our spiritual man wants to come alive, but we don't give God the space. But what is God trying to do? Is he just trying to make you a spiritual religious person? No, he's trying to bring about transformation in your life. He wants to take you from where you were to where he wants to go with you. He wants to be on a journey with you where you do the things that he needs you to do on his behalf. In Galatians 5:13, Paul writes, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. It's interesting. We get this freedom from Jesus, don't we? Everyone who's accepted Jesus and knows the love of God, who has accepted that Jesus died for us, rose again. We can experience freedom. Be set free. Paul writes, now you're free. Don't squander that. In fact, don't take that for granted. That freedom you feel, that is a beautiful thing. Don't waste it. He says this, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit wants you to read the Bible. The flesh says, have a sleep. We're at war with ourselves. We have to be disciplined. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're free. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And he goes on, he's pretty much saying, hey, the world has an option for you. It's all this, but there's a better way. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. When we're spiritually disciplined, the fruit of the Spirit shows up. It says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You've killed it off. It's dead. It has no power over you anymore because you live by the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. In our final week of prayer and fasting, before we come to Anointing Sunday, I'm believing the Holy Spirit's going to just show up next week. I believe that God's going to speak to you and your family for 2024. I'm believing that God is going to unleash blessing on your life in this room. But in this last week, may we be intentional in our prayer and fasting. May we not just squander this week. May we actually take time for God. May we seek after Him. May we deny our own flesh and our own wants and our own desires so that God can grow our spiritual man. The truth is, denying ourselves isn't a lot of fun. But it grows us. Every time I've had to say no in the last couple of weeks, I've been like, okay, God, you're trying to teach me something. I'm so glad that when it comes to denying our fleshly desires, we have the perfect example that set the example for us being Jesus. He denied himself. He led by example. He didn't desire to go to the cross. Not one part of him wanted his body to be torn apart by Roman whips. Not one part of him desired to be spat upon, to have nails driven through his hands and his feet. We know this. His desires were not to go through with this. Matthew 26:36. When Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not my will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch for me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He calls out the disciples and their spiritual discipline again. You're going to have to get stronger than this, boys. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. We know that not much later, Jesus was taken away and crucified on a Roman cross, an innocent man that deserved no wrong. He denied himself so that you could have freedom. He put himself in the place where you were supposed to be on that cross. He took the pain, the agony, the anguish for you and I. And I'm so thankful. There's something about denying our fleshly desires for God. There's something so spiritual about it. We see Jesus just, his whole life amplified it. But he was down the line with his disciples, those who wanted to choose to follow him. He was down the line. He didn't say you're going to get away with no pain or suffering. Matthew 16, 24, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Jesus said, you're going to have to give something up at some stage to follow me. You have to die to those selfish ambitions that you have. And even if they're really good things, they could be really great things. They could even look like blessings. But sometimes Jesus calls us to say, I'm denying it, I'm laying it down because Jesus, you come first. And I know it's hard to deny yourself. Man, it's really hard. But when you say no, when you deny yourself, the motivator should always be love. A love for God. God, I do this out of love for you. Not out of obligation, but out of love for you. And how can we even get to that space? Well, 1 John 3:16 says it like this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus denied himself for us. Our response should be, we deny our own life for him. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you so much that you went to the cross. God, we thank you that you died on the cross to forgive us of all our sin and our shame and our guilt. God, without you, we're nothing. Jesus, I thank you that you rose again, that you gave us a way to the promised land, back to Eden, back into relationship with God the Father through your sacrifice. God, we thank you that you denied yourself. You showed us an example of that. And as a result, we can stand here today knowing that we are free, those that know you. Maybe you don't know Jesus today. Maybe you need to be set free and you want to accept that love. He laid his life down for you. He died for you. Would you decide to live for him? If you're here today going, God, I'm sorry. You know your heart's pounding. I need to start fresh. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for my brokenness. From now on, I deny myself. Today, I take up my cross. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to live for you, Jesus. If that's you today, I want to pray with you that this will just be the beginning of your journey. If that's you, just raise your hand wherever you are. You're going, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. For the rest of us here, I think sometimes we forget we need to lay our life down for him. And maybe this is a time where we just want to set aside and go, God, in 2024, I choose to deny myself and live for you. I choose that I want to follow you and let go of my own selfish ambition. Whatever you call me to, God, I will say yes. I'll be obedient to your word. I'll seek you. If that's you today and you just need God just to strengthen you in that space, just raise your hand wherever you are. I want to pray for you. Just want this year is the year with God. You're like, God, I need, yeah, so many hands. Beautiful, because that's just the heart response. God, for those that are stepping out in faith saying, God, I deny you again. I deny myself again because I want to follow you. God, I pray that you would strengthen them. You would strengthen their spirit to be strong and disciplined. May they open their word and hear from you. May they pray to you. May they take time out and fast something this week in a spiritual discipline and in a place of faith. God, would you speak? Would you show up and show off in their life? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.